called Prayer Exploring the Possibilities, which should be appearing on the screen any moment now. Everybody loves technology. Sorry? Yeah. Thanks, Al. Thank you, Strongman Sisley. You can just pop it here. That's great. Okay, so we're in the series Prayer, Exploring the Possibilities. And I came across some funny prayers that children pray. So listen to these. Dear God, I went to this wedding and they were kissing right there in church. Is that okay? Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Dear God, it must be super hard to love all the people in the world, especially my brother. I don't know how you do it. Dear God, I want to be just like my daddy when I grow up, but without so much hair all over. Dear God, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time just like I am. And lastly, dear God, please take care of my daddy, mommy, sister, brother, my doggy, and me. Oh, please take care of yourself, God. If anything happens to you, we're going to be in a big mess. So, who or what do you pray for the most? Research suggests that people across all faiths pray mostly for their family and their friends. I find that I pray for my wife to get a new job. I pray for my father to find Jesus. I pray for my children's development. I pray for a friend with cancer to be healed. I pray for a better marriage for a couple that I know. I pray for protection from crime in our community. I pray for our church and our country. And I pray for the Sharks to win a game. At least they did last night. Do you pray for things like this? Do you pray for these kind of things? Not for the Sharks. See, Gus is praying for the Bulls. That's why they are doing so well. These kind of prayers, where you're praying for other people or other things, not for yourself, are called intercessory prayers. And Paul wrote about this to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He said, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Interceding or intercession basically means mediating. Mediating between one party and another. Standing on behalf of one party to another. So what an attorney does in a court of law, representing their client to the judge, is interceding. That's what interceding is. So intercessory prayer is standing in the gap on behalf of someone or something else before God, and it's about carrying their burdens to the Lord. So it's not just praying for someone else to God, it comes with carrying a burden. And that's what I want to talk about this morning in our prayer series. Carrying burdens for other people in prayer. And so the title of this morning's message is, He Ain't Heavy. And it's about holding each other up in prayer. If you've got your Bible handy, you might want to turn to Exodus chapter 17. But otherwise, we're going to have it on the screen for you. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 13, is the story of Moses going to pray on the mountain. And it's a wonderful example of intercessory prayer. Okay, let's read it. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 to 13. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I'll stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand." Verse 10. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Verse 12. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. They stood on each side of Moses holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. This is a wonderful picture of intercessory prayer. If you can get to the next slide, Pat. So the story, the setting of the story is that the Israelites were going through the wilderness. They had just come out of Egypt in the Exodus. They were heading to Mount Sinai on the way to the Promised Land. And they get attacked by these other people, the Amalekites. So this is a very real threat and challenge to them. Guys were coming with real weapons to kill them. You've got to know this is a real threat. This is not airy-fairy spiritual stuff. And what is Moses' response? He says to Joshua, "You get some men to go and fight them. We've got to deal with the physical reality of this. I'm going to go up the mountain with two guys, Aaron and Hur, to pray." He recognized there was a real threat, a real challenge, but the real victory was going to come through the prayer on the mountain, not through the fighting. They needed to do something the best they could to deal with the problem, but the real solution was in prayer. You see, every physical, visible threat and challenge that we face in our lives has a spiritual battle behind it, an invisible battle behind it. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. And so we've got to be praying into these things. So Moses goes up the mountain. Why does he go up the mountain? I suppose it's because that's where he first encountered God by the burning bush on Mount Horeb. That's where he spent 40 days with God and where he received the Ten Commandments on the mountain. Have you got a mountain? Have you got your regular place that you meet with God in prayer? Have you got your default that when some challenge comes to you, this is my place, this is my time, this is my meeting point with God where I can take this to him? It makes it so much easier if you've got your mountain spot with God. So Moses goes up the mountain to pray. And when he prays, he lifts his hands, which was the custom in those days. We now tend to bow our heads and close our eyes. In those days, they lifted their hands and looked up to the heavens to God. And what did he do? He held up the staff of God. Why did he hold up the staff? Because the staff represented the authority of God. Remember when Moses met with God at the burning bush? And he said, "But they won't listen to me." What did God say? "The staff that you have in your hand, put it down and it'll turn into a snake. And then they'll know that I'm with you." When Moses prayed for the plagues and the miracles that took place in Egypt, every time he used his staff, when they needed water from the rock, he struck it with his staff. When they needed the Red Sea to part for them to walk through, he extended his staff. The staff represented the authority of God. And so he prayed based on the authority that God had given him, represented by the rod of God. And we have authority to pray to God. I'll go into the world. The basis of our ministry as Christians and as a church is based on Jesus saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. The reason that we can do anything in ministry is because Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth because he bought it with his blood on the cross. And based on that, because of our faith in him, he says to us, go. And so when we go up the mountain, when we pray to God, we have authority to pray in Jesus' name. When we say, Father God, and we end off in Jesus' name, it isn't just kind of saying, okay, goodbye. There's more to it than that. Jesus' name is the authority that we have to come into the throne room of God and be accepted by him. That he'll hear us and answer us. And so Moses goes and he prays, holding up the staff of God, the authority of God. And as long as his hands are held up in prayer, he can see down in the plain, the Israelite army is winning the battle. They're knocking the enemy back. But as his arm starts to tire and he can no longer hold them up in prayer, and he can no longer hold up the authority of God over the situation, his arms drop, the Amalekites start to knock the Israelite army back, and God's people are losing the battle. And so he tries to lift his arms again, but they're getting tired and they start to drop. It's a beautiful picture of intercession. Moses was standing in the gap for the rest of the Israelites. And as long as he was praying, they were winning. When he wasn't praying effectively, they were losing. And as he lifted them up in prayer, he felt this burden. When you hold someone up in prayer, you're going to feel their burden. Have you ever had that? Sometimes when I know someone in our faith community has got a real challenge, a real problem, and they're burdened, and I pray for them, that burden keeps me up through the night. I have sleepless nights praying for you. Because God puts a burden on my heart. Moses was holding up this burden. And so the second part of the picture of intercessory prayer comes in that these two guys with him, Aaron and Hur, found a stone for Moses to sit on, and they came alongside him on either side and held up his hands and his arms so he could hold up the staff of God, and they kept his arms up all day for him to be able to pray the Israelites to victory. And the victory in the spirit realm led to the victory in the physical realm. And so in a way, these two guys, Aaron and Hur, were also interceding. They were also holding up the burden. And that's what we do in intercessory prayer. Someone commented, thank God for guys like Hur. We need guys like her to be holding up the burden. Galatians 6:2 tells us about this burden. Paul writes, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So Jesus commands us, his law requires of us that we carry each other's burdens. We do that by caring for each other, by helping each other, by serving each other. But we also do it by praying for one another through intercessory prayer. And when you pray for someone and their burden, you take on that burden and you feel it. But you can help them to carry the burden. The Greek word here for burdens is baros, which simply means a burden or a weight. So there's a weight to this thing. But the Greek word for carry is the one that I find interesting. It's bastazo, which means to bear, carry, or take up through the idea of removal, according to the Strong's Concordance. Bearing, carrying, taking up, but also removing. And so there's two aspects to this carrying of each other's burdens. The first aspect is helping to bear up and hold up the person and their burden. It's kind of like if you have a little tomato plant and it's being weighed down by big tomatoes, hopefully, if you have any luck with your farming, the plant is going to battle. And so what do? You put a stake into the ground and you tie the tomato plant to a stake. That stake is going to hold up the tomato plant and sustain it as it bears its weight. Okay, so the first part is we hold each other up. There's a strengthening of one another as we pray for each other and care for each other and help each other with our burdens. But there's a second part to it. It doesn't end there, because the second part means removing the burden. And so we don't just end up holding up all these people and having this extra weight. We've got to take it somewhere. And that's what it says. We carry it away. We remove it. And I'll get to where we take it to just now. But I'd like to ask my wife, I have primed her, to come and help me with an illustration. I'd like my dear wife to come and hold this gas cylinder and just hold it up in one arm. And this is her burden. Sorry, Elle. Okay, so that is Stacy's burden. And what kind of burdens do you carry? Not normally gas cylinders. Thank you, Gus. What things weigh you down? I'd like some answers here. What things weigh you down that you'd really appreciate prayer for? Yes, thank you, Gus. Poor health is a real burden for a lot of people. Financial burdens. Partners, so relational burdens. Worrying about your children. Raising your children is a burden. The safety of our children, yeah, absolutely. Do you have work pressure, Pam? I was worried because I'm kind of your boss, which would be awkward. Yeah, work pressures, absolutely. Just the demands of busyness of life and lack of time is a burden, yeah. Am I still plugged in? Yeah. Okay. How's your burden feeling? It's getting a bit heavy. So, you know what Satan does, what the enemy does, when we're faced with a burden? He just likes to come and...
Not that he's going to stick a bow on not
you, he won't use the word of God, but he will just add a little bit of weight to our burden, just to make it that much harder for us. And so when we intercede, we don't actually only stand in the gap between the person and God. Sometimes we're standing in the gap between the person and Satan. And we wrestle for that person's soul sometimes. And that adds extra weight to the burden. So, Stacey's got this burden. What has she got to do with her burden? She's got to bring it up here to give it to the Lord. Let's just imagine this is the foot of the cross. She's got to try and lift it up there. And she can't manage. So, it's too heavy for her on her own. So what are we going to do? Well, why would you want to help her? Why do you care about her burden? Because you care about her. And you see, the reason we pray for other people is because we have compassion on them. Do you know what compassion means? Last week I explained the word passion. Comes from the Latin word passio, meaning to suffer. Stacy is suffering. The com part comes from the Latin word com, which means with. If you feel compassion for somebody, you suffer with them. You feel it on your heart for them. And so that's why you good people want to help my poor wife who's suffering, which I'm taking great delight in. Just kidding. She was telling me how strong she is. No, she can handle it. She's stronger than she looks. So that's why I'm just letting her feel it a bit. Love you, my darling.
Love you too, babe.
And so Norma, being Stacy's mom especially, felt bad for her, has come alongside her. But now you need to do, let me do it because you've got a bad wrist. I don't want you to hurt yourself. I do love my wife, so I'm going to help. You've got to stand on one foot now because this, what happens with the burden is it weakens you. It starts to break you down. And so Stacy now can only stand on one foot and hold this with one arm. And so what I do in coming alongside her is holding her up with her burden, firstly. That's the first part of the carry, bastazo carry. I'm holding her up. How are you doing? Is that a bit better?
That's good.
Okay. Now that we're in a better place, let's remove this burden together and give it to the Lord. There we go. Thank you. You may be seated. And that's how intercessory prayer works when we pray for each other. Now the Spirit of God did an amazing thing in our service last week. He really touched our hearts. Like I mentioned earlier, there was forgiving each other and much grace was given. And snotentrana and uniting us together. Let's carry on with that by really starting to look out for each other's burdens. But if you see somebody struggling, going and asking how they're doing, if there's anything you can pray for them, anything you can help them with. Because I think that's the authentic church of Christ. A church of believers who really come around and rally around those who are struggling and support one another. And we're all going to go through tough times. That's part of life. So here's where I think this sometimes comes unstuck. Is as I say, let's pray for each other, all of us will probably say, yeah, that's good, I'm happy to do that. Where I think the problem comes in is that we're sometimes too proud to say to somebody else, hey, I'm struggling with an issue here, please help. This is calling out, I need some help here, guys, please. And we kind of think, I'm going to just soldier on through this thing on my own and try and get through it. That's not God's plan. His design of church, a faith community, is for us to hold each other up, to strengthen each other. And as we do that, we learn not to be self-sufficient, but to be able to depend on God and His people to get through the challenges of life. So let's not hold back in asking for help. Let's not hold back in looking out and offering help. And if you don't feel a burden for someone else, if you don't have compassion on your heart for somebody else, then pray and ask God to give you compassion, to touch your heart for somebody else. So we need to pray for those who are burdened. We need to pray for our church, for the protection of our church, the unity of our church, the ministries of our church. We need to pray for our ministry leaders who face a spiritual opposition because of their roles in ministry. And I need you to pray for me. As the pastor of the church, I take a special interest from the forces of darkness. And there are times that I really feel your prayers buoying me up despite difficulties. And there are times that I feel like I could do with more. So please pray for me because if I'm strong, I'm in a better place to care for you, to serve you, to feed you, to lead you. And let's pray for our community, that God would have His way in our community. And let's pray for our governments, even if you don't like the people in our government or how they're running the country. Paul says we need to pray for our government. And believe you me, in Paul's day, the government was a whole lot worse in how they treated Christians than ours is today. So we need to pray for our government that God would have His way in our government. So I said I was going to tell you what we do with the burden. Psalm 55 verse 22 tells us, give your burdens to the Lord, and He'll take care of you. It tends to be kind of the last thing we turn to. When we have a challenge, when we have a problem, we think like, well, let me deal with this. Maybe let me ask that person, that friend of mine I know can help with this kind of thing. Okay, Lord, you know, then I'll start to pray. Lord, please help me with this. But we don't actually ask other people to pray for us, to help carry the burden. And then we're in a stronger position to take that burden to the Lord. See, sometimes it takes time. Moses had to have his arms up all day. Sometimes there's spiritual opposition. And we've got to persevere in prayer. And as we do that, God is deepening our relationship with Him, our dependency in Him, our trust in Him. Sometimes it takes a while. And so we've got to hold each other's burdens up, but not just to hold them up, to take them to the Lord. And the reason that He can take them is that He is the ultimate intercessor. Isaiah 53 tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, He made intercession for us. He wasn't praying, He was mediating between us sinful people and His Father in heaven. He was offering His atoning sacrifice, His life as an atoning sacrifice, so that we could get right with God. Jesus has interceded for us. And Romans 8 tells us that He's now at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Not praying for us, He's mediating between the Father and you and me, so that when we pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, Father says, ah, yes, I know you, my child, because you're in Jesus. That's why we can take our burdens to the Lord, because He's paid for them already on the cross, and He loves us. And so, the title of the message was, He Ain't Heavy, which is in reference to that old song you might remember, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother, which has been made popular by a few artists over the years. And you might remember it was used in an advert a couple decades ago with two elephants. Remember that advert? Yeah. He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. But where it originally comes from is in the 1800s. There was a Scottish Christian who wrote a book. And in that book, he told the story of seeing this little girl walking along, carrying her baby brother, who wasn't much smaller than herself, struggling to carry her baby brother along, and asking this girl, aren't you struggling? Can I help you? Because that boy looks pretty big. And she replied, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. See, because she loved him, because he was her little brother, it didn't matter that he was nearly her own size. Because of that heart of compassion, she could manage the load. And I think because we are united in Christ, we are brothers and sisters in Jesus, when we take up each other's burdens, we'll find that we ain't that heavy. Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and He carries it with us. So can we take a moment to close our eyes and bow our heads in prayer? And I'd like us to just reflect on this teaching. And won't you individually, in the silence of your heart, ask the Lord, firstly, if you have a burden that you've been carrying for some time, that's weighing you down, that you're finding is really tiring you and pulling you down, if you have a burden like that, do you need to ask somebody to help you with that burden, to pray with you, to just be a support to you until you're able to give that burden to the Lord? And secondly, ask the Lord if He wants to put a burden on your heart to pray for somebody else. Ask Him to give you a heart of compassion to recognize and feel other people's burdens. Richard Foster, in his book, The Celebration of Discipline, says that if you, from a heart of compassion, have a burden for somebody else, that is a sure sign that that's a prayer project from the Lord for you. God works through these burdens. Ask Him if He wants to give you a burden for somebody else. And so, Father God, we thank You that we can approach Your throne of grace with confidence because of Jesus. Because of the cost of His life blood poured out for us at the cross. Thank You, Jesus, for Your intercessory work for us. Lord, I pray that we would really pull together as a faith community to bear one another's burdens, to hold each other up, and to help carry our burdens to You, Lord. I pray for those who are really struggling with burdens that You would send the right people their way. I pray that You'd break down any obstacles, any resistance that gets in the way of us carrying each other's burdens. And we pray, Lord, that You would take our burdens on You, that You would lift us up, that You would pull us together, that we would know Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy in a very close, personal, and real way. And so, Lord, we pray that You would go with us, be with us through the week. Lift us up, Lord. Help us to serve You. Help us to carry our brothers and sisters of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen. Church, we've come to the end of the service. No tea and coffee, because we've already had that.